The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and University of Phoenix.
Good evening, everyone, and we've taken the show on the road alongside the 85 Bear, Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Saveman, live from Indianapolis, where earlier today the Bears scrimmaged against the Indianapolis Colts. They'll do the same thing again tomorrow leading up to Saturday's preseason game here at Lucas Oil Stadium. We'll be joined by Martellus Bennett, in about 10 minutes or so here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Tom, what did you learn today watching the practice?
It's just nice to see other talent around the NFL. You know, it kind of gives the young guys a chance to, you know, see other talent in practice outside their teammates. And sometimes it gives you a sense of confidence. It gives you a little bit of boost because you're not just getting ready for someone in a three-hour game. Now you have 2 days of practice to see them in a lot of different drills, a lot of different variations of scenarios that coaches can set up. And I do believe sometimes it does a lot to boost your confidence, but sometimes if the opponent is getting taking advantage of you, sometimes it makes you understand how much better you need to get.
Jay Cutler said after the practice that the Colts won the day. Their defense did a better job against the Bears' offense. Is that what you're talking about in terms of potentially getting discouraged?
It's in every drill, everything you do, because as you see the two teams split up, you have offense over on one side of a field completely separated from their defensive teammates. And now you're starting to go through drills that, okay, I haven't seen this guy 25 times in his stance. I know a little bit about what he's going to do. Now I've seen a guy in a stance for the first time. How hard is he going to go? What type of moves are they teaching up here? And what is the subtleties of their job differences that our defense is playing against us? Now what Indianapolis will play against the Chicago Bears offense. And I think sometimes it's tough to line up against the speed of an organized defense like the Indianapolis Colts, who've been around a little bit together, and they're a little bit more developed in their sophistication of how they can attack a team in practice.
What was interesting to me is, and anyone who's watched the NFL this preseason, you've seen a lot of teams scrimmage against one another. And just yesterday, you had the Cowboys and the Rams go at it three separate times. Real brawls, not these tussles or flare-ups or shoving, but real fighting taking place, and they had to cut the practice short. That didn't happen out here today.
Not yet. But, you know, everything you're taught, Zach, in football, no matter what position you play, the last thing every one of these coaches yell at you encouragingly is finish, finish, finish. So now, if you want to see Kyle Long finish a block at the end of a one-on-one period, boy, it could have really gotten ugly today. Or when they had some punt coverage drills that they're going through, they have some really physical conclusions to the drill that sometimes don't set well. So again, you know, it's a fine line how you want your teams and your players to finish the drills, but making sure you don't aggravate somebody along the way.
Zach Saveman, Tom Thayer, live from Indianapolis here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We'll be joined by Martellus Bennett in about 7 minutes or so. Had a chance to talk to him right after the practice today, and he had a lot of interesting football things to say about the new-look Bears and what his role will be this upcoming season. I find it interesting that when you look at the depth chart, based on this week after the first preseason game against Miami, we saw one big change in the starting lineup on the defensive side of the ball. Adrian Amos, the rookie safety out of Penn State, has at least for now put himself into the starting lineup right next to Antrell Roll in the defensive secondary. Why? What happened in the preseason game with the Dolphins that Brock Vereen didn't do, and what did Adrian Amos do to catch the coaches' eye?
It's not so much what he did in the game. It's what he was doing in practice leading up to the game, and then how did it work itself out when you got in the game. For example, you see Cameron Meredith drops some passes in practice, and he gets in a game and he lights it up. His concentration is higher than it is in practice. And then you see the way you expect the safety position to contribute, not only in stopping the running game, but limiting long passes against them. So now you have to see the different subtleties, the angle of approach, the willingness to break down and make a big tackle if a running back breaks free into your area. And I don't think they were 100% convinced that's the safety play that they need in order for this football team to get better. Because that's what all these decisions are about. It doesn't matter who you are. John Fox, Ryan Pace, they have to put a better football team on the field than concluded last season. And yeah, Brock Vereen got the opportunity to line up with the first team. But you line up with the first team until they determine someone to be doing better behind you, and then they're going to get that opportunity.
Help me understand something, because Ryan Mundy's probably coming off his best season as an NFL player last year for the Bears. It was an awful season for them defensively, but he actually stepped up and, for him, had a good year. Is he not getting that opportunity right now because the coaches know exactly what he's about because he's a longtime veteran in this league and they're trying to test some of the younger guys?
Well, I think it's about what they expect out of the position and what they've seen so far with the player is willing to do. And when you look at Amos in practice and they had the chance to be physical and tackle at the end of the drills, he was really putting himself at a position of advantage according to the defense. He could play at linebacker depth and understand how to defeat a blocker coming at him and still get involved in the play. It's what you want the position to achieve. And right now, when you look at how fluid he is as an athlete, his willing to step up to the line of scrimmage and inject himself like a linebacker, that's what the Bears need to make everybody better, because that's ultimately the decisions they're going to make is who is the best.
You've had a chance to review the video after the preseason opener against the Dolphins. What stood out to you, and where would you like to see the Bears improve heading into this second preseason game against the Colts?
They need to be patient with the defense called at the line of scrimmage. Sometimes you get a cutback run of the Miami Dolphins, and it's just a little bit of overzealousness by Antrell Roll and Pernell McPhee because they want to make the tackle. They're going to help the defense make the tackle. So it's just the subtleties that you have to learn, how your teammate is going to flow within the system you're playing. And that's what they have to be better at this week. They have to be more organized up front in order to be a more run-stopping defense at the line of scrimmage.
The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, brought to you by Jimmy John's, and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. When we come back, we will speak to the verbose Martellus Bennett next. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabeman. We're live in Indianapolis on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabeman. As Bears All Access rolls on, here from Indianapolis, we're joined by veteran tight end Martellus Bennett. So what was this like for you?
It was just competing and playing. You know, you get a chance to show guys who you are all the time. You know, they see the game film, but to see what kind of effort you go with in practice and set the tone, so they know what kind of competitor you are and that you're good every single day. You know, you show up every single day, which is pretty much what you're trying to do for the team. No matter where we are, where we're going, it could be on concrete, could be out on the ocean next to Poseidon. It was just really about bringing it every single day.
Martellus, you've been the best offensive player in camp so far. Is that part of the responsibility you like? Because there's a lot of business in the offseason, but you've been all about football business since you got here. And what is it? Is it you know that you have to be a dynamic player again this year?
I mean, really, it's just step it up. Every single year, if you look at the way my growth has been as a player, every single year I've been getting better and better. Just understanding, I think the number one thing this year that I've gotten better is being patient. You know, I know my plays are going to come. When they're going to come, I don't know. But I know that at some point the offense is going to have to go through me. And I just keep playing, doing whatever they ask me to do, and be where Cuddy wants me to be, being where the coach is, just doing my job to the best of my ability.
With that being said, I think you've improved more as a blocker in this camp than in the past. I think a guy like Pernell McPhee and the linebackers have helped you, I mean, really become the blocker that tight ends need to be in the league.
Well, I've always been a really, really good blocker, just that this is more my style of blocking. Smash mouth, coming off the ball, hitting the defender in the face. every single time. Last year it was more position blocking, which, you know, after a while, or playing fullback and going back to cut the backside guy legs, and after doing it 20 times in one game, it's kind of like, hey, it's not working anymore. So I got back to my roots as far as run blocking. Frank's been doing a great job, been working with Ben and Mags and everybody, and it's just been just technique, because I've already been strong. I got stronger this year. I got faster this year and all that stuff. So it's just using my technique to get the job done.
Did it kind of bother you when people would criticize the fact that you missed most of the offseason, and yet behind the scenes, clearly you were putting in work to get to the point where you're at right now?
Oh, yeah, I'm always working. I mean, I'm kind of a weird guy that's misunderstood, but at the same time, that's just who I am. So it doesn't really bother me anymore. In the offseason, I have a lot of fun interning with DreamWorks, talking to DreamWorks, you know, making cartoons, because this is what I want to do. I'm fortunate enough to find two things that I really love to be able to do for the rest of my life, and that's making movies and cartoons and playing football. So it's been a blessing to find those two things, to have two things to really focus on and work at, besides being a great father and a great husband. Other than that, I really don't do anything else. I just play ball and I write stories, you know, so that's what I do.
You know, 6'6", 260, though. When I saw you split out as a wide receiver the other night in the Miami game, it's a mismatch. They can't cover you from that far. Do you feel like you're a more effective receiver farther away from the ball, or do you love that? You love just being at the tight end position and going from there?
I like both. I mean, earlier in my career in Dallas, I'm playing with Witten. I learned a lot from running routes out of three-point stance. So if it's a DB covering me, I like to be in a three-point stance, actually. And if it's a linebacker, I like to take them out wide and stand up because they're uncomfortable. So I usually three-point because the DB is uncomfortable in the box covering me, and they'll know if I'm going to run block or I'm going to run a pass. And then out wide, the linebacker just, you know, they're looking for help. So it's always fun. Like, if I start down and I move out and the linebacker looks to the sideline with his hands up.
Well, the other night they had a penalty and a completion. So it's kind of a double whammy when you're out there against those guys.
Yeah, I feel like I'm very strong at the point of contact. So with the DBs, they're so much smaller than me, and I'm fast enough to outrun them, so they have to respect me. So they try to jam me, but then I overpower them, so then they back off, then I'm able to do whatever I want to do. So most of the game, I just kind of manipulate what they're trying to do to me and to my advantage.
Can you see what this offense is going to look like just by the amount of time that you've spent practicing within the framework of what they're trying to do here?
Yeah, I think the best thing about this offense is something you could really, really buy into. You look at Adam knows, like, you could just, like, you believe in the coaches and what they're trying to do, the system. You believe in the system. I think that's the biggest thing for me, just believing in the system and just let my game shine throughout the system. It's not trying to do too much. You know, there's points in my game where I could kind of mix it up as long as I get to the spot. And it's a lot of freedom, you know, like, as far as get my job done, but I have some freedom to within. So I think the biggest thing is just being able to buy into what the coaches are doing.
With the Bears changing defensive fronts, has it helped you open a variety of blocking for you? Because you play against a standard four-man line since the whole time you've been here. Now you just have a variation of players you're up against.
Yeah, I love me and Purnell. We always talk because I was asking him how he was going against the other tight ends today. He's like, man, no tight end blocks like you. I was like, that's a great thing. And then I told him the same thing because Purnell's 280 on setting the edge and running fast. These guys are like 260. They're actually smaller than me because I'm like 275. So they're a lot smaller than me. So it's much easier when I go against smaller guys like that. So it's been fun going against those guys. They bring it every single day, whether it's Jerry, whether it's Houston, or whether it's 49. Sam, all those guys. So I just try to kick their ass all the time at practice. And at the end, we always laugh because I'm like, I go to Clint Hurt, and I'm like, hey, you know who won today, you know? And then, so it's a competition. So I just try to make sure they don't beat me and bring it every single play.
See, you've been able to compartmentalize everything because clearly you're happy. You love being out on the field. You love your teammates. How do you separate the business part of it? And for fans that want to know, where are you in regards to the business side of football, the stuff that you were trying to take care of this offseason?
Oh, man, I'm not really worried about business. The business take care of itself. Like, in off seasons, that's when you do your business. As a player, as a businessman, there's a lot of deals that go on in off season, whether it's, you know, other things I do as an entrepreneur or things I do in football. Deals happen, deals don't happen, but at the end of the day, I got to come back and go to work. So, I mean, I just want to be compensated fairly for the level of play, but at the end of the day, I'm not really worried about it. I'm not tripping at all, so I'm not really hurting for money or anything like that, you know. So I'm just, you know, I just enjoy playing football. I haven't even talked about it. Actually, that was my first time thinking about it.
Well, sorry to put you in that mood, in that zone. Thank you very much for joining.
No problem, man. You have a good one.
Bears tight end Martellus Bennett. And it really is a change, Tom, from the offseason in which he was trying to get himself a new contract. He was clearly unhappy, feels he's underpaid compared to some of the other tight ends in the league. When you look at his numbers, 90 catches last year, he was a major focal point of the Bears offense and wanted to make a little bit more money. Bears said no, yet he still came to work, and he's putting in the work out there on the field.
Right, that's what's impressed me the most about him at training camp and how much better he's gotten. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm an ex-Bear. I was kind of frustrated with Martellus' attitude in the offseason because that's not what I thought the Bears deserved. He found himself in a fortunate position yesterday or last year and having a big catches, but they were a bad football team. And so when Martellus started talking about the business side of it, I just thought it was a little bit too premature in his contract status. And now fast forward to this week, he's coming to training camp. He's practiced every day. He's, with all due respect to a guy like Matt Forte, because you just don't have the physical approach to practice at training camp, but Martellus has been the best offensive player on the field, both as a point of attack blocker and a receiving option for Jay.
It's interesting that you say that, because when we had Jay Cutler on a couple of weeks ago right here on Bears All Access, one of the things he said was that Eddie Royal was probably the guy who was standing out in terms of the offense, but you're watching everybody.
So. I mean, you go out to practice today, and there was several routes where Martellus looked like a really big guy running through the defensive backfield, and then he is a big target for Jay. So you have a combination of assistance of a good blocking tight end can add more deception to his target ability. And so, again, I just like to see, for the Bears offense to succeed, it's got to be the running game and some of the shorter pass routes that you can afford, and that's to Martellus. And that's the way everything else is going to open up.
The Bears lost Kevin White, so they lost a big-time receiver in terms of size and speed.
You don't know that. You do. Kevin White was a player that they drafted. He has brought nothing to the Bears offense yet. So we have to talk about the guys that are going to be here, because Kevin's never been here.
Okay, and right now Alshon Jeffrey is out as he's nursing what the Bears are calling a mild calf strain.
Right.
But he's not out there, not going to play this weekend against the Colts. Do you see Martellus playing a bigger role as a receiver, not just as a tight end?
If you could combine the two, that Matt Forte was going to average 4 yards a carry. I don't need long tests. 4 yards a carry, and Martellus would have the same inclusion as last season. The Bears' offense could be very time consumption and effective.
You know, you got me thinking. Let's open up the phone lines, because you're saying a lot of stuff here that I think the fans are going to want to respond to. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Join us here on Bears All Access, your opportunity to talk to Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman.
Call me crazy. One of the two.
Well, we'll find out here on Bears All Access, live from Indianapolis on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues live from Indianapolis, where earlier today the Bears and Colts held a joint practice. They'll do it again tomorrow and play each other Saturday night at Lucas Oil Stadium here in downtown Indy. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. Time now to decide on the Player of the Week, brought to you by Sports Authority. And Tom, I need your help. Since the Bears haven't had a game this week yet, let's go with the player for the Bourbon A portion of training camp, now that that's over.
It's probably not a popular choice, but Shea McClellan still points himself out to me, because I still think he has the most to lose or the most to win. Because when I saw Shea get his snaps in the Miami game, there were specific techniques that he was using that was getting him to the ball quicker. And the second play of the game, he was a fingertip away from tipping a ball away that ended up being a completion. Maybe in 2 weeks it's an interception. But he still has to raise his standard of play from his past experience in the NFL to earn the starting linebacker job here in the Chicago defense. So they've asked a lot of him. He has to call all the defense, make sure the other 10 players are in the right position, every single defense called. And then if the offense makes an adjustment, he has to be able to make the adjustment. So there's a lot on his plate in still learning how to play the position. So, you know, Shea is still coming out of the camp as the starter, but there's still three preseason games up from pretty heavy evaluation in the Indy practices.
So we'll give Shea McClellan the Sports Authority Player of the Week. McClellan, by the way, in practice in Bourbon A, became the first team player to get an interception, picked off Jay Cutler in the final
play. You know, and that's what, you know, when I saw Shea break off into his responsibilities from the inside linebacker position, it seems like he sees it a little quicker. He knows his area of responsibility. Now, if you can, you could just have to tip away a pass. You don't have to intercept it. So if you think that play may be an eighth of a second quicker, it is a tip ball.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. And, Tom, you had a lot of stuff to say about Kevin White. For example, a lot of people are calling this a devastating injury, and it is, because he was your reward for having to endure what happened last season. But since the Bears haven't truly been able to practice with him in pads, you don't know what you're missing
right
at this point.
But you know what, Zach? If I'm putting together a team, if I'm Ryan Pace and I'm bringing a mass group of guys to come and mold my football team, if Kevin White can't line up, I want six guys' attitude completely change. Of I'm the next superstar. I'm going to get those reps in practice. I could possibly win a job on the Chicago Bears because the first rounder's not here. There's a lot of guys in uniforms out there that their enthusiasm has to go through the roof. Not, and I'm talking about their personal enthusiasm about what they can accomplish, not enthusiasm because Kevin White is injured. No way. I'm just saying that you have little notification of when your opportunity is going to present itself. And so far, the Bears have notification, and so do, you know, all these guys that are have jerseys on.
Marquise Wilson is a guy who has an excellent opportunity now to make a name for himself in the NFL because he's going to get those reps. You look at someone like Cameron Meredith, the former Illinois State quarterback who's become a receiver now trying to make the Bears. Mark Mariani, who is known just as a return guy, he's getting reps. Josh Bellamy.
There's a guy that he showed snippets of real ability in the NFL. Zach, if you have the desire to be a professional athlete, then some of the enthusiasm has to be at its highest right now for some of these guys.
Let's go out to the phone lines. We'll start in Woodridge. Joel, you are on Bears All Access. Good evening.
Hey, Joel.
Hey, Tom. Hi, Zach. Listen, I just had a question about Jared Allen because I know that he's going from a down lineman position to now they're putting him in a stand-up role. He's 34. You know, it's kind of an old dog learning new tricks. Do you think that he can really be as successful with this new scheme he's playing in?
You know, Joel, I think he can because Jared has the best instincts on the defensive side of the football. He can tell you a lot about a football play by a lineman or a tight end stance or the formation they come out in. And one thing I did see out of Jared the other night in the Miami game is when he was playing tight ends and offensive tackles out of a two-point stance, he was almost better because he was in an aggressive defensive position quicker than coming out of his stance. And so that's one thing I did like to see out of him there. And you saw his instincts work on when they were going to attempt to screen at him. He read the offensive tackle so quick that he almost had an interception. So, man, one thing about Jared, as I do, I love his approach to preparation every day.
He talks about being able to process information quickly, almost like a supercomputer. If you're able to do that, that's what separates a good player from a great player on the field in the NFL.
I mean, and it's amazing how much information is processed by a defensive end. I remember one time Richard Dent explaining to me what he was going through his mind when they came out in a certain formation. And it's a 45-minute dissertation about everything, no matter where they are on the field, how much time is in the game, the type of balance, everything. It's amazing.
And you talked about the enthusiasm. He's got it.
Every day.
He's rejuvenated. I think, number one, because he's healthy. You know, last year he was never really healthy from the get-go. Injured in the third preseason game, right before it, he had a little bit of an issue. Then he had the pneumonia, which took a lot.
He enjoys
the
challenge, too, you know, because the thing about Jared is if the Bears don't like him, they don't feel that he fits into the plans, he can be a very valuable asset to a lot of teams in the NFL because they would put him back at defensive end.
And the reality is, I'm sure he's looking at two guys, elder statesmen in the NFL, in Julius Peppers and DeMarcus Ware, who switched schemes late in their career and had success in year one doing it.
To me, if for the old school guys, I always think of Ted Hendricks and the Oakland Raiders because he was the guy that was awkwardly built for a linebacker, but he was so smart, he was in the right position at the right time.
And Vic Fangio talks about instincts more important than your physical build if you're going to have success in his defense. Rashad on the south side, you are on Bears All Access with 85 Bear Tom Thayer and Zach Zaidman.
Hey, Rashad.
Hey, what's going on, Zach and Tom? Appreciate you accepting the call. you guys were touching on one of the key points that I think about this season as a Bears fan, which is the offense. I think this year a lot of people are looking at it the wrong way. I think, Tom, you were touching on it. I think our expectations for this offense should be more settled towards ball control offense. When you're talking about the wide receiver position, I don't think that it's going to be as pivotal that Kevin White is missing, because I'm looking at what they have at running back this year and the infusion of a healthy offensive line outside of Jordan Mills, of course. But I think they're really going to commit to the offense, to running the ball, and that's going to help that defense keep the game under control and not force so many shootouts like we've seen in the last couple of years. I want to see what you guys thought about that.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, that's – I think Coach – Fox, he has a reality about the running game, because every touchdown, every play is designed to be a touchdown, but that's not the case. But if Matt Forte and the other running backs, you average, 30 times a game, 4 yards a carry, time off the clock, get into scoring position, keep your defense on the sideline. Yeah, so you're not going to win 50-point games. It's not going to be those, but it is going to be putting your defense in a chance to attack and put the responsibilities on your offensive line and the running back as a community.
You can tell how valuable Matt Forte is to John Fox, because he held him out of Family Fest the first time that they really went live, and then he held him out of the first preseason game against Miami. I don't think you're going to see him a lot in these preseason games, because they want to preserve him for the regular season.
Right. But it again, they need the guys behind him to get a lot of reps, because you can't have value at the running back position unless they have some familiarity with the running block scheme, because it gives you a better innate ability to see where the holes are going to open.
I like this. Let's keep this up. We'll continue talking to you out there at 312-644-6767. Your chance to talk football with Tom. I'm Zach. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ready, Set, Shuffle. Registration now open for the Super Bear Shuffle 5K, powered by Power Plate, on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more at www.chicagobears.com/5K. Alongside Championship Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. We're taking your phone calls here as we have a little bit to talk about now that the Bourbon A portion of camp is over. The Bears have played a preseason game, and Tom has a notebook full of different Bears stuff that he wants to share with you. So let's continue the festivities at 312-644-6767. John in Glendale Heights, you are on Bears All Access. Good evening.
Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, Double Z and Tommy? How you boys doing?
Good, good.
I had a question. You were just talking about Matt Forte going for 4 yards, Martellus doing it, winning the time of possession. In the game we play now with fast-paced passing offense, is it going to be enough? One more thing. Shout out to my boy, Daryl. Thanks, brothers.
it's got to be enough, because I think if you're going to try to be something you don't have the capabilities of being and go getting out there in shootouts, you're gonna wear your defense out, you're gonna lose the games, and it's gonna give you a dose of reality. I think when you look at coaches and offensive coaches, that they know how to make their offense the weapon they need to do, they need to be to assist their defense. I think that's the best way you can do it. And I think last year, asking for Matt to be so accountable week in and week out without letting someone else be included in the running back effort was unfair to him, because when you do need it in the latter part of the year when the weather does deteriorate, you don't have the Matt Forte that you need to have when that is the most important.
I see three of the best offensive weapons in football in the NFC North. You start with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. You look at Adrian Peterson in Minnesota. You see Calvin Johnson in Detroit.
Agree.
The best weapon the Bears have in terms of beating those teams is keeping them off the field, and that's Matt Forte.
Analytics. They have analytics guy now on the staff, and they'll tell you that. It is about, making sure that you can have time-consuming drives that end in points, in hopefully seven for a majority of the time. But, making sure that you limit the accessibility to those destructive weapons that are on the offenses in the division, that's the way that you're going to be that's the way you're going to be more competitive early in your division.
There are very few Tom Brady's or Aaron Rodgers in the National Football League. Look at the way Seattle was able to win the NFC last year and the Super Bowl the year before that. They have Russell Wilson, who's clutch and makes a few big plays a game, but ultimately they rely on Marshawn Lynch to carry that offense.
Right. I think you're silly to talk about success that doesn't have a big-time running game included in it. And even, you know, when you talk about the New England running game and as great as Brady is, you know, they were running, you know, four different running backs in and out of that system throughout the season. So, again, the process is making sure that your organization up front is so quality that all these running backs can be the contributors. And I, you know, you say until you're blue in the face. Again, it's only that 4 yard average you need.
Marcos in Schaumburg, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Marcos.
Hi. Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for making it. What's on your mind?
I kind of got more of a roster kind of question. It's kind of a couple guys. I was curious what you thought about Jeremy Langford, Adrian Amos, and Jarvis Jenkins. I kind of liked what I saw from Jarvis at Family Festival and also at Miami. I liked Adrian Amos bumping up to the first team defense, but Jeremy Langford seems like I think he might be able to explode. But obviously, DeQuez Rogers is doing so well. But I just want to know what you guys thought about them in the roster and maybe kind of in the safety position in general too.
Well, I think they're all going to make the team, and I think when you look at Rogers getting the first attempts at the running back position, that probably goes by seniority and experience. But when you get Langford involved and he gets some involvement in special teams, and then he starts catching the ball a little bit more, and the running or the quarterbacks become comfortable with him, and then he shows that he can be a value if they do come up against a heavy blitz team, and he can start blocking and protecting the quarterback. They got to feed the running back position in little snippets to see if they can responsibly do everything, so you can keep them on the field and they don't become a situational back. Amos, he's already proved that he's going to get a look with the first team and possibly be a starter on this football team. He can, you know, they like what they see. And same thing with Jarvis Jenkins. They really like what they see out of him. A big, versatile defensive end, can go out there and compete against offensive tackles and slide down inside and still be a big body on the inside.
Did Eddie Goldman do something that impressed you in that game against the Dolphins?
Well, you know what it is? He's got a really good organization with his strength and his size and his ability to understand how the offense is unflowing in front of him. He should have had a tackle for loss early in the game, which really would have really helped his confidence. But if he's seeing things that quick, you know, the more reps that he gets, and this could be really helpful going against Indianapolis before playing him, because he's going to have a little bit more awareness of the stance and the offense in front of him than just going out there and playing the game.
Let's go out to Darren in Iowa. Darren, you are on Bears All Access.
Hey, Darren.
Well, hi, Zach and Tom. How are you?
Good,
okay,
how are you?
I got a question. Good. I got a question about how is Kristen Jones faring in practice and in the preseason so far?
Interesting. Kristen Jones, the free agent linebacker from last year who made the football team, and now he's being considered as one of the starting inside linebackers. I think Kristen Jones has to prove to me that he can go on there in week one at the linebacker position and not get picked on by Aaron Rodgers. Because if you do see a half of a step hiccup in a linebacker that doesn't understand routes very well from that inside position, then you can see where they think the deficiency is and he will get picked on. But Kristen has really progressed along nicely in his short NFL career. I know Vic Fangio and these guys really like him, but I still think that he is going to have to prove that he's up to the knowledge of that position and the speed of all of his requirements.
We spent so much time, at least through the Bourbon A portion of camp, Tom, talking about both Kristen Jones and Shea McClellan at inside linebacker. What about the guys on the second team, and how are they doing at those positions?
You know, Jonathan Bostic has as much as ability on the inside position as anybody, but it's about availability. You got to be there every practice, every day, and then you have to show a real willingness to be a defense leader, both verbally and by your performance, because you're set up to succeed. So I've always been a little disappointed that Bostic hasn't emerged as the linebacker that athletically you see him have the capabilities of being. And then, you know, you have Mason Foster, you have Timu 57, who made a nice play. He's not supposed to make the team, but now he's opening coach's eyes. He should have had a tackle for loss the second play that he was in the game, but he missed a tackle in the backfield. So, I think their competitiveness at that position is still in high alert.
What's the difference between the Mike linebacker in this system and the Jack linebacker in this system. Those are the two inside linebacker spots.
Well, you know, you always see the opponent's quarterback pointing in a certain direction where they're going to throw a pass. They're pointing to the Mike linebacker.
Which is Shea McClellan.
Yeah, and he's part of the responsibility in the organized pass protection for the quarterback. And so now he'll look at what the Mike is doing involved, if he's going to come or if he's going to get involved in the coverage. In the backside linebacker, he's got a variation of responsibilities. He could be the guy that's going to, you know, move around in a blitzable position, or he could be really secure in the middle of the area, tight end coverages, or a back out of the backfield if he's fluid enough. So, you know, they.
And that's the Jack linebacker, yes. Christian Jones's position.
Yes.
Jonathan Bostic's position.
Yeah. But, you know, it's always their first responsibility is to play the run first. And now that's the ability to disengage blockers and get in the way of the ball carrier. And that's a major part of their responsibilities, because if they can't do that, it doesn't matter how they can cover the pass. They're going to get run on 50 times a game.
And then what about the cornerback position? Because that's something that we know about Kyle Fuller. Who's the other corner in this scheme? We'll discuss next. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access live from Indianapolis. We're here all week watching the Colts scrimmage, followed by a game on Saturday on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears take on the Colts this Saturday, August 22nd at 6:30 p.m. Tune into the Chicago Bears Network broadcast on Fox 32 in Chicago and stations throughout the Midwest. Chicago Bears preseason football is brought to you by North Shore University Health System. Alongside 85 Bear and Bears radio analyst Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from Indianapolis, where earlier today we had an opportunity to watch the Bears and Colts hold a joint practice at the Colts practice facility. They'll do it again tomorrow, followed by a game on Sunday. And one,
Saturday.
Saturday. If it was Sunday, we'd have a problem. So the Bears have Tracy Porter, who is highly thought of by this coaching staff, wasn't able to play against Miami because he's banged up, then goes out there, practices today, injures his hamstring. They don't know the severity. But who's the guy opposite Kyle Fuller that's going to play corner in this system?
Well, what is it, David Ball, number 20?
Allen Ball.
Al Lewis Jean. You know, Tim Jennings, you know, could maybe have to play that boundary cornerbacks. And can they have do they have another slot guy in here? So, I don't know. I don't think the corner that plays may not be on the team yet, because I think they might have to look at, you know, the talent that's out there, and if that there's talent out there that's better than the bottom talent that they have here, then they got to be come in here for an evaluation period.
The Bears do have the luxury. Unlike most seasons, they've got the seventh position in terms of claiming players with the waiver wire because of what happened last season. Usually they've been much lower. So Right. They'll have potentially an opportunity to grab a good player that ends up getting cut from another team.
Hey, I don't, you know, Ryan Pace he's always made it clear we are looking for players. And so if that doesn't light a fire under you as a player that maybe is a lazy in practice or on a bubble or inconsistent about his attitude at practice, you better change quick, because cuts are going to be made within the next couple weeks. And boy, if there's names and they got your position description next to their name, be nervous.
I saw him today, Ryan Pace, walking with the Colts general manager, Ryan Grigson, and one can only imagine the treasure trove of information that was being shared between these two general managers.
Right. It would be great to be a part of the conversation, because here's two guys that are looking at 180 guys and trying to evaluate everything about them. How do they react in the different circumstances they're put in when they're competing against an opponent in practice? And there's a lot of unique drills that they can formulate and put together that maybe are scenarios that they haven't experienced in a game yet.
Did you, and we heard John Fox say this earlier in training camp, that special teams is going to matter with this regime. And if you're the last player that plays a certain position, if you're the last guy on the depth chart at that position, you better be a standout special teamer, because he's going to take the special teamer on the roster over a guy. Say if you're the last running back, you better be a good special teamer, more so than a good running back, because that's the player he's going
to
take.
You better volunteer to be on the special teams. And if your name is not on the list, because every day they go to a blackboard and they see the depth chart listed of the special teams that they're going to practice again that day. So your name better be on it. If it's not week three, week four of training camp, you know, you better might think about a different career.
Now, that being said, the first time you really get to find out just exactly what you have from a special team standpoint is in the first preseason game, because you don't get an opportunity to practice it. What'd you learn when you watched the video?
They played very aggressive. They were simple enough where they had a really determined to get to a point of attack to try to get profit out of the play. They did with the Mariani punt, and then they had the penalty with it. The opening kickoff of the game, it was clean, no penalties, and then Jordan Mills jumps the first play of the game. I think it's those setbacks that the Bears fans don't want to see out of the special teams. They just wanted to see an organized group, and if it has to go in more in simplicity just to be more aggressive, then that has to be the case early in the season. But Coach Rogers, the special teams coach, is a really, really aggressive evaluator. And he's not a guy that just allows these guys to cush through their time that he has with them. It's a heavy-duty effort at a program.
Let me flip it around, because this is a unique experience. The Bears have not practiced against another team during the preseason since 2004, Lovie Smith's first year, when they went down to Macomb and took on the Rams, and Mike Martz was the head coach of St. Louis back then. Were you watching the Colts, and did things stand out about the way they do things that maybe John Fox is looking at and seeing the exact same thing you are?
No, you know what's weird is because when you stand at a combined practice, you can only watch one half of the Chicago Bears football team, and today I just stuck with the offense. Now tomorrow I'll stick with the defense and see how Andrew Luck is against the Bears defense, and that'll give you more of an evaluation of the team as a whole. I like the special teams drills they did and how active they were, but it really is about, you know, coming back, watching the tape of your performance today, and then expecting something a little better out of a player out there, out of a specific period that you want to do better, short yardage, nickel, whatever the case may be.
If you're an offensive player, and you heard what Cutler said after practice today, that the
it's
Colts
a team.
Won the game.
You know, that means to every player on the offensive side of the ball, you better realize that you better practice tomorrow with, you know, whatever they expect out of you. You know, more passion at your position, more, you know, hopefully there wasn't mental errors, in making sure that you're physical when your job requires it.
And I'm really interested, like you, in finding out how the Bears defense responds day two against Andrew Luck, because it's not just him. You talked about a team. Man, that's a team that is loaded on the offensive side of the ball. You've got Frank Gore, Andre Johnson, T.Y. Hilton, the two tight ends, including your guy.
And Dorsett, the guy they drafted this year, is as fast as you can possibly play against. And so when you have the combination of great quarterback play with immediate decisions in blazing speed, all those other guys, man, they're going to have some opportunities, because they're going to be so worried about the long ball threat of Dorsett.
But the key to a Vic Fangio defense is getting in the head of a quarterback, but yet I'm sure you don't want to show him everything in a practice.
Right. You're not going to show him anything. Again, it's going to be about the evaluation of the position you put players in. Okay, I'm going to take Al Lewis Jean, and I'm going to put him in the most difficult cornerback scenario I can in 7-on-7 or a teamwork to see if he can even hold up to the responsibility. If he doesn't, you know something about him.
As we get set to say goodbye here, your former offensive line coach, Dick Stanfill, was a heck of a player back in the day.
Right. He's up for the senior committee of the Hall of Fame. They put him on the ballot, and he deserves it so much, he and Kenny Stabler. And I'm so happy for Coach Stanfield's kids, because he passed away. We all got to see their family at the funeral in the wake. Guys were scattered at both of them. But I'm really happy for their kids, because, man, Coach Stanfield meant a lot to his kids, and his kids meant a lot to Coach Stanfield.
And he meant a lot to Walter Payton, because you guys opened up those holes.
He was just a great coach. No matter how you were built or what he felt your strength was, that's what he developed and cultivated in you.
Tom, thank you so much. Thanks to Martellus Bennett and everyone that helped us out on the show, including our guys back in the studio, as well as Greg Miller, the executive producer. I'm Zach Zaidman, saying thanks You're listening to Bears All Access live from Indianapolis on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.